From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. For the past several years, an outbreak of a highly contagious and often fatal disease has been affecting birds across the country. The highly pathogenic avian influenza, or H5N1 virus, has been affecting wild birds since at least 2021. But recently, the bird flu virus has made the jump to poultry birds like chickens, elephant seals, and now dairy cattle. Dozens of herds across at least 9 states have reported infections. And here in California, some local counties are taking precautions. Last week, Solano and Yolo counties issued a joint health advisory, urging people to avoid raw milk and raw dairy due to recent detections of the H5N1 virus in these products. Joining us now with more information are Dr. Dean Blumberg, Chief of Pediatric Infectious Diseases at UC Davis Health, and Dr. Bela Matias, Solano County's Public Health Officer. Good afternoon to you both.
Hi.
Thank you very much for having us.
So Dr. Blumberg, I want to start off with you. What exactly is H5N1?
So there's a bunch of different influenza strains. Some of them only infect humans, and some of them affect different animal species. And this H5N1 traditionally has infected primarily birds, but it does have some cross-species transmission.
I mean, I've heard about it before. There have been previous outbreaks and cases going back more than a decade or even 2 decades. Mm-hmm. Why is it concerning now?
I think now what we're seeing is transmission from birds to dairy, to cattle, and that's different. And then we've had transmission from the cattle to workers who've been working with the cattle herds. And so that's different.
Yeah. Is it surprising to you? When I first started hearing about this a few months ago, it started in other states. And then obviously now there's some confirmed cases here in California as well. Is that unusual to you, given that, you know, you walk in the world of infectious diseases?
I think when we have transmission between species, sometimes this can occur with very, very close contact. And if there's like one case that's transmitted, remember with COVID, we had some transmission to cats and dogs. And, you know, one case here or there is not that big of a deal. If it tends to be widespread, though, that's new. And then that can be concerning because that can infect many different cattle. That can affect transmission to other species, including humans. And that can have economic consequences as well.
I would also think, I mean, of most concern are the people who come into direct contact with dairy cattle, like farm workers. I mean, are they highly susceptible or more susceptible to getting this virus?
Yeah, certainly there has been a case in a dairy worker. And so that's something that would be sort of a frontline exposure that we'd be most concerned about. And then the other concern is, could it be transmitted by dairy products?
Typically, dairy products are pasteurized, but they're all raw milk and raw dairy products. So that would be the concern. Why is raw the concern versus pasteurized?
So pasteurization doesn't sterilize dairy products, but it does reduce and significantly reduce any chance of infection by 99.99%. And so that's pretty darn good. The raw milk, however, does not have that protection. And so that is a risk of transmission. And studies have shown that this virus has been detected in raw milk samples. And so that's why it's of concern that it may be transmitted via that entity.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Matias, that brings me to you, because both Solano and Yolo counties put out a joint release, a health advisory warning about consuming raw milk and raw dairy products. Why did you decide to release this advisory now and also jointly with also Yolo County?
Well, I mean, as Dr. Blumberg points out, the recent news of this virus being in cattle, dairy cattle in particular, is what's concerning, because there has been a lot of evidence to date showing that this virus is in raw milk. Now, can it transmit to a human from the raw milk? We don't really know, but it's concerning that it's present, and clearly pasteurization gets rid of it. So that's why the raw milk in particular is our concern. Historically, raw milk has been responsible for transmitting to people brucellosis, tuberculosis, E. coli, salmonella. There have even been anecdotes of rabies. So raw milk is a high-risk food product. Raw dairy is high risk. And so the reason for the timing is that this particular concern in dairy cattle has been spreading across the country. We haven't had any defined or definitive identifications of cattle here in California so far. But what we have seen is an increase of influenza A in wastewater in many parts of the Bay Area not accompanied by human cases being reported. And so that implies, there, at least it infers, that there might very well be a risk in wild animals or in domesticated animals like cattle. The pattern of what we're seeing is worrisome. And so we wanted to issue this press release now because we don't want to wait for human transmission to occur. We don't want to wait for it to already be the problem. We want to get ahead of it. And when we believe that by warning people against consuming raw milk and raw dairy, that they'll be protected from whatever risk may occur.
Remind us why wastewater is such a valuable tool in tracking the detection and the frequency of viruses like this, because it was also used, and I think is still also used with COVID as well.
It is used with COVID, and we actually, there are a growing number of conditions that we're using it for. It basically allows us to keep track of what's happening in a community or in an area based on what is coming out of our bodies and going into the wastewater. And so it doesn't require patients to show up in an emergency room for us to know that there might be a problem if we can detect it in the wastewater. And, you know, typically you'll see it in wastewater before it becomes problematic among people in terms of large numbers. So it gives you a little bit of time to work on trying to prevent it. In this case, the wastewater is also working as a surveillance tool for cattle, not just for humans. And so, we don't want to ignore a signal. We want to take advantage of the potential early detection.
Have there been other county health departments in the state, to your knowledge, that have put out a similar health advisory?
I don't believe so. Not recently. There have been historically many times where there have been outbreaks due to raw milk consumption, and so there have been press releases related to that. This is different. This is a more widespread general concern that raw milk might be a problem for H5N1. So far, Yolo and Solano, I believe, are the only ones that have put it out, but I don't believe that we're going to be the last.
Yeah. Do you have a strong or a robust raw milk or dairy industry in both Solano and Yolo counties?
Well, we certainly have some dairy. I don't think that we're dairy capitals, but there is a lot of work at UC Davis with regard to dairy. There are at least a couple of dairy herds in Solano. But it's one of those situations where if we know that something is a potential risk to our community, we have an obligation to make sure that they're aware of it.
Mm. So if you are a consumer of dairy, whether it's cheese or milk, what have you, how do you come into contact with raw milk? Is it usually at a farmer's market, or can you actually buy it at a grocery store as well?
Well, it is legal for sale in California. I think by far and away the most common place to acquire it is through a farmer's market or by directly interacting with a dairy farm. I would say that that's the most common way, but it's not a prohibited item, so it may also be available for sale in some grocery environments.
Mm. Are you working with producers of raw milk in both of your counties to because at the end of the day, this is also impact their industry as well and their livelihoods?
It does, and everything is in life is a balance. The California Department of Food and Agriculture oversees that particular ag environment. And so we are working through CDFA as well as with our county ag departments to make our dairy farmers aware of our concerns, to try to implement some direct cattle testing so that we can have more direct information. So yes, we're definitely not interested in harming business or economy, but at the same time, our obligation is to protect human health. And so, again, in the weighing of this balance, we have to focus more on making sure people have the information to protect themselves.
What kind of testing is available in cattle or in humans when it comes to this strain of bird flu?
Well, like every flu, it's tested pretty much the same way through a respiratory specimen or whatever other specimen you're worried about, raw milk, for example, in the case of cattle. And it's it can be tested through molecular methods. In modern testing, we call it PCR, but the idea is that we look at the DNA and we try to identify what the organism is. So we have widespread capability of testing for flu A generally. But then if we find a flu A that is unusual, then we can refer it to a number of reference laboratories to identify specifically what type of flu A. So that's how we would be looking at H5N1.
Mm. So, Dr. Blumberg, I mean, this also reminds me of when we were talking about COVID 4 years ago, and how it as you just mentioned, can be contracted by humans as well as by animals. I mean, is this something that is common in your field and in your research and line of work?
You know, H5N1 infections are not common in humans at present. However, remember that, you know, birds, the borders don't stop birds, right? And so they fly over country borders, state borders, and they're carrying this virus. And so once we've had the genie out of the bottle that it's mutated enough so that it can be transmitted between birds and cattle, you know, I would be surprised if it eventually didn't infect other cattle herds in other states, including California. And then the only question is, will it be easily transmitted to humans and become more widespread? You know, right now it's not easily transmitted because we have not had many cases. But, you know, it's possible that could develop.
Are there, and I don't want to be alarmist because there hasn't been really many human cases. I think there's one in Texas. But what kind of symptoms should someone watch out for?
You know, the symptoms range from very mild, just like eye irritation, conjunctivitis, to a flu-like illness. So respiratory symptoms, cough, sneezing, runny nose, fever, myalgias, muscle aches, and fatigue. You know, the scary thing about it is that some cases can be very mild, but historically the mortality rate has been over 50%.
Oh, wow. Dr. Matyash, I mean, thinking about dairy cattle and poultry, what kind of, you did talk about the PCR testing that can be done. But typically when you find out that this virus is present in livestock, is it after they've passed away, or is there a way to get ahead of it with testing, I guess? But I would think that would also be logistically really hard to test, you know, hundreds and thousands of livestock.
Well, it is difficult. Yes, you can test it while it's alive. I mean, presumably we would want to test when the animal is symptomatic and not wait for it to die. And I think that's how most of the testing has been occurring to identify it in cattle. You know, we do try to develop surveillance approaches that are statistically meaningful so that, you know, you don't have to test every animal. You can test enough of a percentage to have a pretty good idea of whether it is or isn't present in that herd. And you know, this is something we've been doing in poultry for a very long time. Cattle represent a new species of concern. And I think that the USDA and the California Department of Food and Agriculture are really just now trying to figure out the best methods for surveillance. But, you know, there's also the wastewater surveillance, which again is inferential at this point because we're not actually looking for H5N1. We're looking for generically flu A. But that might then allow us to focus testing of cattle herds that are upstream of that particular wastewater.
And Dr. Matyash, what would you say to someone who chooses to drink raw milk because of the health benefits, the nutritional benefits, and may see, I guess, preliminary or preemptive warnings like this as fear-mongering because there haven't been cases detected yet in your counties?
Well, I would respect everybody's position on how they want it. Live their lives with regard to the risks. My job isn't to tell you not to drink raw milk. My job is to warn you against drinking it because of the risks. And then you have to take that information and weigh it with the other things you care about that matter to you. And yes, a lot of people do believe that raw milk has health benefits. It's kind of unclear to what extent that's accurate. The literature certainly indicates that pasteurized milk is an exceptionally healthy food product, and it's certainly far safer than raw. So to me, it's a weighing of risk. If you want to absorb the risk of disease transmission because you prefer to drink it, that's appropriate. That's a decision you make. But I would be remiss in my responsibilities if I didn't at least warn you of those risks.
Mm. Dr. Blumberg, given that we have a pandemic very near in our hindsight, and viruses are here, they mutate, and that's what happens in this world. Do you think we're better prepared to handle something, whether it's H5N1 or the next virus that comes our way?
You know, on the one hand, we are better prepared. We've had the experience with COVID. I think people do appreciate what public health officers bring to the table and how important public health is to people because of COVID. On the other hand, there have been proposed cuts to public health funding, and that's of real concern because going through a boom or bust cycle with funding is really a problem. We really need some consistent funding in that area to make sure that we can respond to these threats.
Yeah, Dr. Matyash, how does that impact you? You are a public health officer.
Yeah, I mean, that very directly affects me, and I genuinely appreciate Dr. Blumberg's reference to that. You know, the in the past year, we've had access to something called Future of Public Health funding here in California that has made a huge difference. The reason we know what we know about H5N1, as well as a lot of other diseases, is because we're able to do more surveillance and we're prepared to respond if there's a problem. But in his most recent May revision to the budget, the governor is proposing to eliminate that Future of Public Health funding, and that will essentially set us back. I mean, it'll undermine the progress of the past couple of years. It'll clearly reduce the available resources for us to be able to do surveillance and response. And, you know, from my personal perspective as a health officer, I think that's a grave disservice to our communities. COVID taught us that we needed to be better prepared. Here we are trying to be. And then this is not the right time to be reversing that.
Yeah. Dr. Matyash and Dr. Blumberg, thank you for the conversation.
Thank you.
Take care.
Dr. Bela Matyash is the public health officer for Solano County, and Dr. Dean Blumberg is the chief of pediatric infectious diseases at UC Davis Health. And we've been talking about a recent advisory from Solano and Yolo counties urging people to avoid consuming raw milk or raw dairy products due to the recent detection of H5N1, that is the avian influenza that has been found in dairy cows and raw milk. Up next, it has been decades since Oak Park last had a library in their Sacramento neighborhood. There is now a grassroots effort to bring this community anchor back. We'll learn all about it. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.